Hello, and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 43. This week on the podcast, a new Congress is sworn in, and it's already more effective than the previous one, seeing as how Liz Warren is in it. And a last-minute deal averts 50% of the fiscal cliff disaster, and postpones the other half to a much worse time. Plus, we tell you which seven Democrats are getting it all wrong on filibuster reform. And there's more gridlock ahead as John Boehner is re-elected Speaker in a party that doesn't really seem to like him all that much. Plus, a failed Sandy disaster relief bill serves as a final reminder that Congress is seriously fucked. And Time Warner Cable is awful. A list of reasons why. All this and more on the podcast. Plus, don't forget to follow us on Twitter. This is Brain Trust Live.
So the new Congress has been sworn in.
Yay! So exciting.
So exciting.
Or Elizabeth Warren. I liked a picture on Facebook that was the picture of her office with her, like, name on the door. It was very exciting.
I was just over there looking for excitement and there was no one around.
I know. Over there.
By over there, I mean the offices of the Senate where I was over New Year's.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it was.
Which is very exciting.
It was very exciting.
And Happy New Year's, too, by the way.
Yeah. Happy New Year's, people.
Friends.
Happy New Year's. Happy Senate visit. Happy.
Yeah.
Happy everything.
Happy New Senate.
Happy new Senate. We're really happy that there's a new.
Elizabeth Warren. We've got lesbians in the Senate.
Tammy Baldwin's finally in.
Real big week.
I heard somebody the other day say that finally it was somebody who was talking about how this really is going to be a new Congress, that it's not just going to be the same nonsense that's been going on. And they were like, well, you know, Bernie Sanders will finally have Tammy Baldwin to hang out with, so that will be an improvement. Like, Bernie Sanders won't be alone, like, languishing in the left with no one listening to him.
I know. So, yeah.
I feel good about that. I feel like he'll have some friends this time.
Bernie needs a companion.
I know. He needs a friend. He probably...
He's a sweet old man.
He's probably charming to have lunch with.
Oh, he would have to be.
He would have to be. And probably sort of eccentric in a delightful way. He needed a lunch friend. But we certainly ended the last Congress in style.
Oh, boy.
One thing that I became fully aware of, because I was in D.C. for New Year's and I was staying with friends who work on the Hill, is how much work they were doing during their supposed holiday.
Wah, wah.
Yeah. Lots of people sitting in offices and just waiting. They were all just waiting. There wasn't anything really to do. They were just like waiting for some information about what was going to happen. We were there the day that...
I could do that. I could work on the Hill and wait.
Yeah, no, it's sort of like your job...
I feel like I'm qualified to do that.
But more important. You wait for things, but you get to feel like you're changing the course of history while you do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
But there was a lot of sort of... There was a lot of activity in the actual Capitol, but the Senate offices were... very empty. And the House was just causing trouble. They had already gone home by the time I went to visit the Senate. So everyone was pretty convinced that they weren't going to do anything, which they tried their hardest not to do.
They did. Well, and as we found out this week, they've been trying their hardest not to do that for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Because we found out that they've been the most ineffective House or Congress since they started keeping track of that.
They probably have passed the most attempted repeals of an unnecessary, you know.
Yeah. Oh, and they're getting ready to do that again, the new House members.
No, well, they want to get in there early.
And Ted Cruz is getting ready to do it in the Senate, too.
But how are they going to get to 33 again if they don't start early, you know? You've got to really plan that kind of stuff out. So we ended up with a sort of fiscal cliff deal that deals with some of the fiscal cliff issues.
Right.
And postpones the other. See, the entire time that we were having this discussion, I was sort of like, if Congress passed the bill that said that they had to do all of this stuff before the sequester, why couldn't they pass another bill that said that they were just kidding? Like, what was stopping them? And one of my friends who works on the Hill was like, well, they put something in the bill to prevent them from doing that. And I was sort of like, that, in retrospect, maybe was a dumb plan. And then it turned out... It turned out that they were able to postpone the sequester anyway. So couldn't they just postpone it forever?
Well, I was going to say, like, once you're breaking the rules, like, can't you just sort of, like, begin making them up as you go anyway?
Just keep going. Why not? Keep postpone Postpone until 2027. Who cares? Like,
yeah, make those people false deadline. Make those people deal with it.
Exactly. Maybe they will have figured something out, or they'll be called a different country and there will be no more America, because as things are going right now, that seems like a more likely outcome.
Sure.
But so the deal that we got was, I think, a pretty heavy compromise on the Democrats' part. It doesn't include any cuts because they postponed all of that, but they...
Right, which is why all the Republicans are mad, but, like, obviously the cuts are going to get dealt with, and especially with the upcoming debt ceiling.
There's going to be a disaster.
What will be a debacle. I almost called it the debt ceiling debacle because, I mean, we don't know that it's going to be that, but
no,
we can
know.
Pretty much guarantee.
I think historically we'll be able to refer to it as the debt ceiling debacle, so that...
So, yeah.
Seems
But obviously that's when the cut situation is going to come, because if they're going to let him raise that, they're going to demand the cuts. And I think that they
realize.
Well,
he's already said, oh, I'm open to cuts. He loves to open with his worst offer, basically. Like,
yeah.
He loves to open
exactly.
with, I'm weak, walk all over me, and then see where he can go from there.
Yeah.
But as far as the tax cut issue goes, they got a tax increase on people who make over $400,000 a year and couples that make over $450,000.
Right, back up to the
39.6, the Clinton era tax rates, but
right.
lost the 250,000 to 400,000 group. So they'll
right.
be getting
Which,
tax cuts again.
Yes.
Congratulations if you're both wealthy.
Lucky them.
Your tax cut.
Yep.
Some people who won't be getting full tax cuts, though, are the middle class, because the payroll tax holiday was not extended. So taxes will be going up for everyone.
Yeah, well, and it's so funny, too, because I knew that, but I guess I didn't realize what that payroll tax holiday was. I was just sort of like, and also, I mean, Lila and I often sort of discuss our willingness to pay more taxes.
Right.
My roommate came home the other night, and he was like, my taxes are going up by $1,400. And I was like, no, they're not. They are.
They are. Yeah.
That's about
right.
Happening.
That is happening because, but not because.
And I was like, be happy about that. Be happy.
That's always a good thing to tell somebody. It's fine that we're taking so much money. We need it. We're doing you a favor by taking all of this. Yeah.
No. Hello?
Yeah. Well, we need roads. I mean, they're not going to be paying for roads because if they're
I was going to say that that's not what they're going
we've learned,
for.
It's that paying
we
excessive taxes.
You're correct.
If there's one thing we know in California, it's that paying really excessive taxes will not buy us roads.
No.
You know, that's one thing that we can really say definitively because of science.
Yeah.
But there was an increase on the inheritance tax for large inheritances.
Yeah.
So for any
we got unemployment
states,
benefits.
We got unemployment benefits extended for a year. It stopped some cuts that were going to go to doctors who treat Medicare patients, which sounds a lot like what Obama like are those the same things as the cost savings that Obama was talking about when we were arguing
right.
about Obamacare? I'm not sure I'm not sure what those cuts were, but they also stopped the alternative minimum tax again. That's like a big Republican thing, and I'm not even sure what it means, but they're very into it.
Nobody is.
Nobody
knows what it means.
Yeah. But the bill...
I did have a conservative friend tell me that he wouldn't have to worry about that any longer, as if some great weight had been lifted off his shoulders.
Great.
I should have asked him to explain it to me, because
Why?
My guess is that he probably wouldn't have been able to. But
no. So my guess is that we are not people who have to worry about the alternative minimum tax. So
yeah,
we will never have to know what it is. But
right.
But the deal... is sort of the deal is deepening the deficit. So I suspect that in 2 months, when we deal with the sequester and the debt ceiling negotiations, like shit is going to really hit the fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this was passed by a majority of the Senate. Like most senators voted for this, but the
House, 89-8
House lost their shit over this.
Yes.
And split the Republican Party split on it. And even the Republican leadership split on it, because though Boehner voted yes, Eric Cantor
voted no.
Kevin McCarthy, the majority whip, did not. Paul Ryan voted yes on it as well, and then had to explain that he wasn't sorry about it to all of these news people that asked, because that's going to come up to haunt him probably.
Well, and it's been interesting because this is not the first time that this has had to happen on any sort of deal that has been negotiated. You know, I was hearing, I heard somebody, and I don't even remember who it was, but basically saying that John Boehner's best friend in this Congress has not been Eric Cantor. It hasn't been his whip, because they're oftentimes working against him, which sort of makes me feel bad for him.
Well, because they're two-partiers.
Certain degree. It's been Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah. Well, the only things that he's gotten past.
The things that he has been able to get past, he has had to have big ol' help from her.
Yeah. No, that's... I mean, I think we have a story about this later, because he was reelected the majority leader, and there was a big conservative backlash. But that's what a lot of the like conservative super PAC people and think tank people are saying is, you know, I think Dennis Hassert was the one who was talking about how basically like he doesn't really have a majority party because he relies on the Democrats to get everything done because he can't get his own party in line.
Right, exactly.
Now, Hassert meant that in a really derogatory way that was not good news. But the point is that Boehner really is not able to use the sort of leadership under him to help him round up votes. They just split with
he's
him.
Not. And it's not, you know, I mean, when you're trying to get a bill passed and you've got, you know, your whip who's supposed to be getting votes for you not wanting to vote for the damn thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it does make it a little, you know, it's...
The whip is, Kevin McCarthy is basically working for Eric Cantor. And
he is.
Boehner is sort of like out there hanging out, being sad, as far as I can tell.
Yes.
And maybe crying a little bit. And also cursing out Harry Reid, another story we're going to get to later. But the things that he's not doing include getting a lot of votes from his own party.
But the thing is that I don't know what he's, I mean, he does have some crazies. Look, I get it. But you and I have talked about this before. Nancy Pelosi, when she was the speaker, and she didn't, her deputy was not her first choice either.
Right.
It was Steny Hoyer, and she wanted, what's his name? John Murtha.
Right.
And there was that whole situation that she had, and she still was, I mean, if she woke up tomorrow morning and decided that she wanted to slash Social Security, she'd be able to get her caucus, at least most of them, to vote for it.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
No.
But she, and he just.
But I mean, that's her job.
I don't know what he's doing wrong. And, you know, I go back and forth between feeling sorry for him for having to deal with those Tea Partiers and then just thinking that he has to be doing something ineffectively. Because
sort of.
He should be able to. They should have had more than 85 Republicans voting for that when it was 89-8 in the Senate. It just doesn't make any sense. They should have had more votes.
Yeah. No, he's sort of become like a scapegoat, I think, for the Republican Party, where they elect him, they know he's not going to be effective, and then when they propose crazy stuff and it doesn't happen, they have someone on the right of the left of them to blame. And they don't have,
yep.
You know, and it's not the Tea Party's fault that things aren't getting done. It's Boehner's fault. And Boehner himself is quite moderate, so it sort of starts to sound like it's the moderates' fault, not the ultra-conservatives' fault, that things aren't getting done. I think they like it this way. I don't think, you know, Eric Cantor doesn't want to be the majority leader. And he sort of has this, he has a position where he can, he's in a position where he can rile up support for things that he wants that are crazy. But he also is sort of like able to work against Boehner because Boehner is such a weak figure in the party at this point. And everything
is
blamed on Boehner. So Eric Cantor can cause all sorts of trouble, and it gets blamed on Boehner because Boehner's not being strong enough. Meanwhile, it's Cantor and McCarthy and a bunch of guys on the far right that are stirring the pot, and Boehner's just sort of like the idiot that stepped in it.
Yeah.
I mean, meanwhile, there was a lot of discussion about why even Mitch McConnell took this deal, because it seemed like the Senate had been really like holding out for something else. And they were not that cooperative for most of the negotiation process.
No.
They ended up having to lead on it because the House couldn't get their shit together. And so McConnell, I think, got a lot of flack from the far right as well for accepting this deal. And most people think it was more of a strategic move than you know, the fact that he thought this was a good deal. None of them thought it was a good deal. But they knew that, A, they were going to be like pilloried if they didn't get those tax cuts through, whatever it took. And also they knew that if they delayed the sequester for 2 months and it coincided with the debt ceiling, that they would suddenly have the upper hand because they're suddenly.
Yeah. They think that they're going to be able to run
this next
argument on cutting spending when it comes to the debt ceiling. And it's interesting because both parties are already prepping for that. I mean, you've even heard Obama recently saying that he's not going to sort of like let the Republicans not, pay our bills because of, that they're tied up on spending cuts, and you're hearing the opposite come from the Republicans. And it literally started happening the day after this thing got passed in the House. So this obviously is going to be a real big fandango.
This
I
is
mean,
going to be a major shit show. 'Cause and it's going to I mean it's stupid of them, I think, because it's going to exhaust everyone. You know, just the debt ceiling alone when we dealt with that was so infuriating to everyone that Congress ended up with a 9% approval rating. This is just going to be that again, plus, you know, plus chaos because everyone's going to be dealing with spending cuts and people don't like spending cuts. You know, it's sort of like them in theory, but when you start talking about what you're actually going to cut, people hate them. So, you know, it's I don't think the wisest strategy. I sort of see why they did it. I get that Mitch McConnell needed to make something happen. And I sort of, you know, I understand the logic in delaying these things until a more convenient time for the Republicans. I don't think it's going to play out, though, necessarily the way they hope it will. Although, I also feel like there's a little bit of an unpredictability factor because the new Congress might be totally different. You know, we got rid of a few crazies.
We did.
We added a couple also, but the Republican majority isn't quite as big a majority. It's either house. And
Less of a majority in the Senate. Well, there was never a majority in the Senate, but the Democrats picked
no, but
up
they
seats in the
lost,
Senate.
yeah, they lost seats. I think they
And
lost seats in the House
they
as
lost seats in
well.
the House, yeah.
And so it's just going to be like a slightly different dynamic. And if the Republicans can't get their whole caucus on board for something, then they're going to have to start talking to Democrats again. It's just going to be like there's going to be a lot less room for them to not cooperate themselves. I mean,
It's interesting. I mean, just as of today, I mean, you've got Republicans saying that they're open to a temporary shutdown of the government over these spending cuts when it comes to the debt deal. So, I mean, they will literally, I mean, we know that they'll wait until the last minute because they've proven
They
that
do.
that's their style, but it would not shock me at all if literally a 2 a.m. deal is getting passed to make sure that we pay our bills and don't have our credit downgraded before this debt ceiling nonsense kicks in.
No, and I think it's probably going to come at the cost of huge spending cuts to things that just because they're going to play chicken with, you know, with the Democrats.
Paying bills.
And they're also getting major threats from their own party, or not within the party, but the sort of like Grover Norquists and the Club for Growth and the Americans for Prosperity. And like, there's already been a lot of talk about people being willing to support challengers in the 2014 primaries if lawmakers don't make everyone pay the price for, you know, whatever for passing this deal. And you know, there's a lot of like sort of creepy optimism within those groups about where things are going from here. You know, I think a lot of them were sort of downplaying how sort of like much of a defeat this tax cut deal was for them because someone like Grover Norquist, I mean, their taxes went up. Like Republicans voted for a bill that increased taxes, so you know, that's Republicans were busy violating his pledge or whatever to vote for this, but I think they're sort of like creepily optimistic about where things are going to go from here because the where they can go is like so awful, and all we have to talk about is like things we're going to cut and like ways we can hold the entire government hostage.
Oh boy.
It's going to be a
Fun,
disaster.
fun.
Oh my
Next 2 months
God,
is going to be great.
going to be crazy. It's going to be the best thing that came out of this whole deal
Oh, yeah, this
was
is good.
a sort of like side note in a story on Politico that was called The Fiscal Cliff Deal That Almost Wasn't. But the story opens with a description of an event that happened last Friday, where Harry Reid had just accused Boehner of running a quote dictatorship in the House,
Yes.
and caring more about holding on to his, you know, power than striking a deal. And Boehner ran into him in the hall and pointed his finger at Reid and said, "Go fuck yourself." And Reid,
Right.
who's I'm sure was like scandalized by this. turns sure. around
keeping
and
it, keeping it classy.
Replied, "What are you talking about?" And Boehner turns back and says, "Go fuck yourself." Like, it wasn't like he said it and was like, "Oh good, I got away with it," and then walked away.
Right,
like,
and then carried on.
Exactly. He no. said it. Reed turned around in his frail, scandalized state and asked him what he meant, what he said. And they right. was like, "Go fuck yourself," and then went and bragged about it to all of his friends. Like,
love it.
High school? Like,
whole. I know. The other thing that I read, I can't remember if it was in this story or not, but I guess President Obama had sent Harry Reid some like suggestions for like cuts or something to like put into the deal or whatever, and Reid
crumbled them up and threw them in the fireplace, right?
Which I guess
people
he's sort
were getting
of, like,
very sassy.
That's like a thing that he does. Apparently, the article said
really?
that's sort of like that's his thing.
He's like yeah. walking around like tossing up, tossing papers into fireplaces to express his displeasure.
Things he doesn't like, he throws into his fireplace. It's like a thing. But I thought that was really funny too. I love it when you sort of like after things have happened and you sort of like get the behind the scenes sort of like little you know
this
things in the
not...
fireplace, people telling each other to fuck off and.
This is not what you want to hear was happening behind the scenes, though, during the final minutes of a negotiation that had the entire country's future, like, on the line. You don't want
it
to
really
hear...
makes me think that it really makes me think that I could find a home in the House of Representatives.
It makes me feel like maybe I couldn't, because I don't know that I could hack it if I was being, like, intimidated physically by, like, some asshole, you know, powerless, like, some asshole figurehead who can't be like, okay, we're two men who care about the country but disagree and care so much about disagreeing that we are willing to fight for it, who literally is walking around telling you to go fuck yourself when you're, like, probably the most wholesome member of the Senate. Like, setting aside right. that I often don't agree with Harry Reid.
Yeah.
He's a Mormon. His holiday party, my friend who works on the Hill was telling me that his, like, staff Christmas party doesn't have any alcohol or anything at it. It's, like, a really boring, wholesome Christmas party. He's like really frail and old. He's the kind of like old fashioned, upstanding looking person who you would never feel comfortable saying to go fuck himself to. Like,
well,
I don't know what was said behind closed doors that made Boehner so mad, but it just sort of like the whole story seems like really odd and offbeat, and it makes me trust Boehner even less.
I just feel like it sounds a little bit sort of like West Hollywood.
Right? Well, and it's funny because. Uh-huh. If Harry Reid had said the same thing to Boehner, I'd sort of be like, look at Harry Reid go.
But
For some reason, Boehner saying it just made it like, because he was like, he's obviously like physically superior to Harry Reid. So to say something that intimidating to him is just sort of like cruel. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's what's going on behind closed doors. Instead of discussing serious policy and taking your concerns seriously, senators and
name calling.
Some men are just name calling and generally and trying to intimidate each other with stupid threats. Meanwhile, in other things that we care a lot about, filibuster reform is...
Lila's pet... Besides roads, this is what Lila cares about most.
This is my pet project. I have two concerns in this project. One is I want Republicans to stop having silent filibusters. But I'm also open to allowing them to carry on 400 filibusters in person if they're... like. I'm not against filibusters, per se. If they care this much about filibustering...
You just want them to be exciting.
That's fine. I want them to spend 8 hours reading from the phone book, though, to express that displeasure. I want it to be grueling, physically grueling for them to do it. Huh? I don't want it to just be like, no, we're not going to bring this to a vote. So there is a bill right now that is two votes shy of passing that would eliminate the silent filibuster and go back to the, quote, constitutional option. I don't know why we're acting, P.S., like the constitutional option, which the opponents call the nuclear option, is some big controversy. All it is that a measure requires 50 votes to pass, and the vice president has to be the tie-breaking vote if it's 50-50. That's what the Constitution says.
I know.
That's what they're supposed
to
be.
Can we get into that?
Along. Like, why is it controversial to go back to what their actual rule is? It's crazy. Like, what do they think they're supposed to be doing in there? And so the big controversy we're facing right now, there are seven Democrats in the caucus who have not yet signed on. And that group includes both California Congress.
Both of the California senators.
Yeah.
Those skanks are on my list right now.
What is Barbara
of this.
Boxer doing on this list?
I know. Senator Dianne Feinstein is a little...
She's a wild card. We don't really know what she's up to.
We don't ever really know. You'll recall that we sort of half-heartedly endorsed her in the race. I mean, obviously.
We don't kid around with Barbara Boxer, and I'm sort of wondering what's going on.
Like, I don't know.
Like, they're up there with, like, some randoms. Like, Max Baucus.
Right, like, Senator Max Baucus is on this list. He's terrible always.
Right. Everything he does is
There's
wrong.
Never a moment where he's not, like, one of the worst Democrats
like, Mark
ever.
Pryor
he's
is no
Republican.
Hero to the American
no.
people. Like, it's just sort of, like, a very baffling list for Barbara Boxer to be included on.
Like, don't be on this list, Barbara Boxer.
No, don't be on this list. So, and I'm kind of wondering if this is, like, some sort of concerted California thing, because California is the only state where both senators have yet to sign on.
That's weird.
So, we'll see what happens. There's another bill that is co-sponsored by John McCain and some other horrible Democrat that is sort of like the opposition bill, which doesn't really do anything to address the issue. It just is a bill that makes an unrelated rule change, basically. I don't think that bill has any chance of passing, but this bill is only 2 votes shy. So if you live in California, call or write.
Yes, Lyle and I both emailed RCS.
Emailed them yesterday. Or if you live in Michigan, Carl Levin is someone that you could talk to. Mark Pryor of Arkansas, yep. Patrick Leahy of Vermont, Max Baucus of Awfultown, and Jack.
Give up on him.
Rhode Island.
Don't bother emailing him.
No, give him the finger, maybe. If you,
If you tell him to fuck off.
Find a way to tell him to fuck off. That would be fine. Ugh. But yeah, don't contact him about legislative issues. He's always wrong. But anyway, this is so close, and it would be so exciting if it passed, and it would make it possible for the Senate to legislate in the manner that in which it was supposed to in the first place.
Right.
And all in all, everyone would be happier, and we could stop held in a reign of terror by small states. I have a lot of issues with the Senate anyway. I remember at one point I was writing, this was when healthcare reform was sort of on the line, and like, Ben Nelson and Lieberman were both being assholes, and I was trying to figure out write about this for the Huffington Post. And I looked up the Connecticut Compromise, which is the compromise that sort of like created the Senate, on Wikipedia. And someone had written in that it was called the Connecticut Compromise of Idiocy. We're not into the Senate at that point. And I feel like there's a chance that I could be into the Senate if the Senate could start acting like it's supposed to. But in any case. Moving on, as we said, Boehner was reelected speaker. No one's
but
really
not,
happy about it.
No, nobody is really happy about
including
it.
His own party. 12 Republicans voted against him.
Right. He barely snuck by not having to have to be on a second ballot.
Yeah.
Basically, you have to get like a certain amount or percentage or whatever of your own party. And he just got it.
And
just
there was,
got it.
Some weird incident that got reported in like every paper, where a representative from Kansas, Tim Hoolscamp, got a ridiculous name. pronounce his name. I've never heard anyone say his name before.
Hoolscamp?
Hoolscamp?
I'm going with.
I guess.
Yeah.
He was sort of like blatantly using an iPad while the vote was going on and like ignoring the vote. And he was working on a list that was titled, "You Would Be Fired If This Got Out." Which had a bunch of congressional Republicans on it, who I guess were supposed to be voting against Boehner. Like, no one's really sure what the list was. It's sort of creepy, and no one knows whether the people on the list knew they were on the list or who the list was meant for.
Yeah, who knows?
But there were a bunch of people on the list who did end up supporting Boehner. So I guess it wasn't the most accurate list of people that would have been against him. Steve King was on the list, by the way. You'll be happy to know.
Yeah. But you know, if Boehner wouldn't have, if he, it would have been embarrassing for him to go to like a second ballot of this. But, you know, the people who are not voting for him, there are not enough of them to elect
someone of their
own.
No, exactly.
So to vote against him really would have just done more harm to the party because it would have made it more difficult for Boehner to actually get anything done. So it's sort of, you know, when you're voting on the Speaker of the House or the leader of your own party, it really does just sort of make the most sense to vote for him just because
These
it
people, though, are
doesn't
not...
do you any good to it doesn't do you any good to embarrass him.
They're activists. They're not party guys. They were doing
right.
it to be activists, and if they had gotten more people to be activists, they would have been proud of the political statement they were going to make. They're already holding the party hostage anyway. They don't care about who the speaker is because they've made it.
Yeah, they're not worried about actually legislating. We know that.
No, they don't care about legislating. They all, the one, nine of them actually voted. A couple either ignored their name in the roll call or voted present. But of the nine that voted, the political story that talked about this said they cast votes for people as varied as a former member of Congress who lost his reelection bid in November. And a 1990s-era U.S. Comptroller General who appears on cable television. It's like one day I was looking at the list of write-in, the list of people who had been written in to a local election, and Mickey Mouse had gotten voted for six times, and someone had voted for Mickey Mouse but misspelled his name, and so it got listed as a different thing. Like, people are voting for crazy shit when they write stuff in. I've written myself in for things before. Sometimes I do that when I'm feeling really activist-y. But this is sort of like this. They knew there weren't enough of them to actually do anything. Apparently, Eric Cantor got three votes, but he was actually pretty embarrassed about it because he doesn't want to be speaker because it's a terrible job.
But then they sort of like wouldn't issue a statement about it. His office. I mean, I'm not as convinced as you are that Eric Cantor doesn't want to be.
I don't think he wants to be the majority leader. I mean, the Speaker of the House. I think that he likes being the majority leader because I think that it's like enough power for him to cause trouble, but he doesn't take the blame for anything. It's like I was saying before.
True.
You know, they have Boehner there as their whipping boy. They're never going to get the support of the moderate Republicans for all of their crazy plans. So
that's true. You're right.
They hold two of the three most powerful positions in the party in the House, and they're able to cause as much trouble as they possibly can and accomplish next to nothing because of it. But they don't get the blame for it. Boehner gets the blame for it. I think that Eric Cantor is in the most powerful position, like sort of logistically, that he could be in as the majority leader. I don't think
he's
more powerful as the Speaker of the House. I don't think he wants to be the Speaker of the House. I think he's annoyed that people voted for him against his will because it made it sort of look like he was trying to challenge Boehner's authority. And I don't think he wants to look like he's doing that.
He just wants to be a shit starter.
He wants to be a shit starter. He is a permanent shit starter. That's his skill in life is shit starting. That's what he's talented at. He's shit starting up a storm and has been for years. And he just wants to go on shit starting like he likes to. But in any case, I don't think that he wanted those votes. I think that as happens often with this sort of radical caucus within the Republican Party, I don't think they really talk to each other about what they're all supposed to be doing. I don't think they're tremendously well organized in a lot of respects. And I think all of them are just slightly stupid and slightly crazy enough to do things that aren't like really in the advantage of the group. So I think probably three people voted for him who had not mentioned that they were planning to do this to anybody and just thought they would. And then, you know, he was probably pissed about it because it ruined their plans to look like they were just trying to be in opposition to Boehner and not like they had alternative plans to elect someone else.
Right, exactly.
But in any case, the usual suspects were the ones who did it, so no one really worried about them. But as I mentioned before, Dennis Hastert had some kind of strong words for Boehner.
Yes.
Mostly because he compromised on this fiscal cliff deal with Democrats.
Yes.
He was off running his mouth on Kilmeade and Friends, which is like, don't do that.
Ugh. That show.
And he was pissed about the whole fiscal cliff deal thing. And so he was going on about how Boehner can't keep relying on Democratic votes to pass legislation. I mean, Dennis Hastert is the guy who is the namesake of the House rule that requires you to have a majority of the in power party supporting a bill before it can go forward for a vote.
Right.
It's an insane rule.
Which was why the Plan B vote didn't go was because of
they couldn't get a majority of their own party. But
right, exactly.
It's sort of like it's an insane rule that everyone knows is insane. But that's his line of thinking is basically like don't compromise. Basically he was sort of like talking about how Boehner is not really in charge because he has to compromise with Democrats to get anything done, which begs the question why Republicans are being so such troublemakers. I mean,
that's
really an issue of, you know, party loyalty and
Well, and that's the interesting thing. I heard somebody point this out on MSNBC. I don't remember who it was, and I thought it was such a good point that when you think about the deal that the Republicans had to end up with, would they have liked the plan B better? Yes. But they were so held up on not voting for any tax cuts that they wouldn't even bring it to a vote. Might the Republicans have liked the grand bargain last year that was part of the debt ceiling thing that Boehner couldn't get anybody to sign on because there were tax increases in it? I mean, this is what happens when you have a fringe portion of your party who won't vote on anything. They get stuck with this. I mean, there are people on the far right who hate this bill, but they have had 10 other opportunities
Yeah, to vote
to
for something
vote on things,
better.
whether it would have passed the Senate and been signed by the president is a whole other thing. But I mean, they got stuck with this because they fucked everything else up.
I mean that's the only direction that this could really go in. I mean, because they weren't able to work out a deal themselves, they were forced to rely on a bill that came from a democratically controlled
From
Senate.
Democrats.
So,
Exactly.
like, oh well.
It's just like, but they won't learn.
No, they won't. But this is the problem. This is what I'm saying. Those guys are a little stupid. They're not
They're, yes,
well
they are.
organized. They're not tremendously loyal to their party or anything. They're tremendously loyal to these crazy fringe ideas that no one else agrees with, and they don't seem to understand that the process of legislating involves a measure of compromise, whoever you
Right.
are, because it's
Yeah.
not like this was the Democrats' dream deal either. But there were some far
Right.
left Democrats who knew they had to vote for this shit because they needed to get something done. Like, that's how governing works. These guys
That's how it works.
understand the basis of like what democracy is and how governing happens.
They don't.
So,
Correct.
like, of course they weren't going to do the logical thing and like take a better deal than this. They
No.
were going to absolutely oppose everything to the point where they became irrelevant, which is what happened, and then
Right.
complain about how the head of their party is not really in power because he was relying on democratic votes to pass legislation. And the only
Right.
reason he's doing
When
that is because that's the only thing he could do to get any legislation passed.
Right. When where had they just had some foresight, they would have probably been able to avoid this.
Yeah, but they don't have foresight. They don't have any kind of sight. They're blind.
No.
They're without sight. The final failed act of the 112th Congress was the failure to pass a Sandy relief bill, which
Oh my God.
was even like, leave it to a bunch of New York Republicans to get pissed enough to start hating their own party for this, because they have already
Yes.
dealt with this with the 9/11 health shit. Like,
Yeah.
they did the same thing with the 9/11 health bill a few times. You know, this is like old hat for the New York State and New Jersey, you know, the tri-state area Republicans. And so they're sort of
Right.
like over it because so basically what happened was Sandy happened months ago, and there's been no federal aid allocated for disaster relief.
Right. Well, and I heard somebody say something that was interesting to me. The first federal aid bill after Katrina passed 10 days after the storm.
I'm sure. No, and
We're
the
months
Senate
away from
had
safety.
approved a $60.4 billion relief package when it adjourned, and the House Appropriations Committee had approved $27 billion as an alternative package, but Boehner wouldn't bring it up for a vote, and he was even approached like after the whole fiscal cliff vote thing went down. One of the New Jersey Republicans approached him about getting a compromise bill passed. I mean, getting a bill, no, the fiscal cliff was a compromise bill, but getting a bill passed for Sandy relief. And
Yes.
Boehner yelled back at him, "I'm not meeting with you people." He called him you
Whatever that
people.
means.
Peter King is
Right.
pissed off. Peter King, who was one of the Republicans who was very active on 9/11 health stuff as well, is he, I think he was telling people to not make donations to the House GOP people who came to New York to raise money for their campaigns.
Yeah.
Michael Grimm, another New York Republican, apologized to his constituents from the floor of the House for not making
Oh, wow.
it happen. I mean, the New York delegation, the New Jersey delegation, was pissed off, and Chris Christie was really pissed off, which, you know, he loves a good chance to be indignant. And at the moment, he's sort of like not,
Yes.
people, the party sort of hates him anyway at the moment, so he has nothing to lose because he's mysteriously blamed for electing President Obama because he said that he
did
he was good after Sandy or whatever. But apparently Eric Cantor called him and told him that the bill was going to be delayed without explanation. And he said in his press conference on Wednesday, all I can tell you was this was the speaker's decision, his alone. So he's no fan of Boehner at the moment. So they finally passed a bill today for $9 billion, but it was just an initial relief bill. And they're supposed to vote on Monday on the remaining $51 billion that Obama requested. But but they sort of like made enemies out of the entire New York, New Jersey delegation in the process. So, you know,
they did.
That's awesome. And then in unrelated news, but we're bringing it to you because it matters. We don't even have a story, a link for the story or anything. We don't really, I just read this somewhere and now I can't remember where, but we told you that the Journal News, which is a sort of, it's not an upstate New York paper. It's a New York suburb paper. I say upstate as an obnoxious city resident, but this is like Rockland and Putnam County, which is, you know, an hour outside the city. So it's not exactly
right.
They released all of the handgun permit records for Rockland County, and Journal News published an interactive map. And they were going to do the same thing for Putnam County, but now the Putnam County officials are trying to come up with like nonsense reasons for why they can't do this to kind of like hold them off while they figure out a legal reason why they can't do it. So
there was some, did you see Ann Coulter spiral out of control on television about this?
No, but my mom told me.
Okay. So she was on Fox News doing something, I don't know, Hannity or something, whatever, being horrible. But she, in regards to when they did publish that map, basically, she went ballistic. And she was like, I want to see a map of all of the women who have had abortions.
I did. I want to see a map
of all, like, rent-controlled housing.
Yes.
And, like, just sort of like went bonkers.
Went on a whole crazy tear.
Went like on it. She literally sort of like just about like short circuited about this whole thing.
Yeah.
In a way that just was so bonkers.
Yeah.
It was really funny. She's a mess.
I think I heard it on the radio. It was like a really long speech.
She was it was.
Ranting about it. She was naming every group of people that she could think of that does things she doesn't approve of.
Like, right, she wanted to know where they live.
Rent-controlled apartment. Apparently, she doesn't like people with rent-controlled apartments, which...
I know. I have a rent-controlled apartment, by the way.
Well, I was saying, like, I was like, okay, like, I get... I don't get the comparison from my own, like, perspective on to the abortion issue, but I get why she went there. I have no understanding of the rent-controlled apartment thing. Like, are you somehow, like, killing someone or violating public...
It's people who are living on the dole.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing like living on the dole by having a rent-controlled apartment where you pay money to a private landlord every... Like, there's no money being made for the dole in rent control. I live in a rent-controlled apartment also.
Yeah.
Most of L.A.
is rent-controlled. Well, West Hollywood is
rent-controlled. Yeah. I don't live in West Hollywood, and it's still rent-controlled. L.A. is rent-controlled.
Yeah.
If you live in an old building...
I still want to just be besties with her.
I know you do. I have no doubt.
You know I love crazy people.
I still want to spend as little time with her as I possibly can, including as little time as I can seeing her, like, around.
I want to go to the Abbey. I want to do just, you know, have a debaucherous evening with her.
A debaucherous West Hollywood evening.
Yeah.
Ann Coulter.
It'd be great.
It would be terrifying. We'd have to, like, disinfect afterwards because she would probably be saying horribly insulting things all night. It would just be
clearly
horrifying. Also, you would probably, you would maybe get, like, attacked and or shot, but after, like, it would probably not be your safest option for nighttime companion.
Taking Ann Coulter to West Hollywood?
Yeah. There's a good chance you would be injured in the crossfire.
She'd love it.
Oh, she would love it.
She'd love it.
In other unrelated news, we had a minor kerfuffle because Current was purchased by Al Jazeera. I said the word kerfuffle again. I'm into it.
Yeah.
Seems important. And so Time Warner decided they weren't going to carry it, but then they sort of backed down and said that they were like...
Nefariously decided that they weren't going to carry it.
They were part of... this was part of their nefarious plan to be jerks.
That's your other word of like the last month.
I know. That's I've been also trying to text you the word nefarious as much as I can. Because I feel like it adds some color to as many, to like every conversation that's brought into. But so they're basically current as we know it is gone. And it's going to become Al Jazeera English, which
current as we know it was
never
gone.
Existed. Current as we know it was a failed experiment. Like, it's a great idea that never happened. But they're going to replace the channel with a channel called Al Jazeera English. It was basically purchased for its circulation, not really because of the content that's on it.
Right.
I think Jennifer Granholm already left. Like, some people are leaving current.
Yeah, right. She's done.
But apparently Time Warner Cable are not huge fans of Al Jazeera, which Al Jazeera still has this sort of like crazy reputation as being like some sort of Islamic extremist news. And Al Jazeera is like a really good news source.
Like, I know it would be just sort of like, I mean, it's just sort of like, it would be like, yes, it's based there, but I mean, it's really just sort of like, carrying the Arab world's BBC,
It's the BBC of the Arab world. That's what I was going to say. It's just the BBC of the Arab world. It's the international and national news source. It focuses a lot on issues in the Middle East because that's where it's based.
Yeah.
It does not apparently have a perspective that George Bush appreciates, but that's because its perspective is often based in facts.
Right, exactly.
And it's also like, you know, they've like been honored by like a bunch of American politicians and such. Like, it's considered a respectable news source. It's not like Al Jazeera English is like somehow going to make you, you know, part of the terrorist plot to take over America.
No, it's
like,
so dumb.
It's like a totally fine news source.
Just it was just like a ridiculous knee jerk reaction that was not based in any sort of like rationality.
Yeah. Time Warner is famous for these issues. They're also famous for being jerks on their own. If anyone is siding with the terrorists, it's Time Warner Cable. That's one thing I can confirm from having to make phone calls to them in the past.
Oh, I know. Hello.
Like, everyone knows they're the worst people in the world.
Overcharging me for my internet, which is consistently not working.
Yeah. They raise my prices every year with the service somehow getting worse and never can offer an explanation as to why that is.
Yeah.
They're the number one people that you get into a phone argument with about some nonsense that they should just be able to solve. In any
totals.
As a final.
Never happens with DirecTV. DirecTV hasn't canceled Al Jazeera English yet.
Well, DirecTV obviously, you know, knows that its consumers want to be able to watch television. That's like once you're providing television service to people, like your first responsibility should be to make sure that your customers are able to receive television channels. And that seems to be the one area that Time Warner Cable is like really not able to grasp. Like, Time Warner Cable is like, first of all, always broken, so you're often receiving no television channels. And second of all, way too expensive for the number of television channels that you receive per dollar.
Oh, it's so true. It's like, way too expensive.
It's way too expensive, and you don't get any television channels, so it's sort of like, what's the point? I say that as a long-time Time Warner customer who doesn't know how to, like, extricate myself from their grasp. Like, it's horrible.
You're, like, in their clutches.
I'm, like, in their clutches, and I feel like they know that, and they're trying to control me. I can't let that happen.
Well, they're doing it. You have to break the chains.
I know. I've got to figure out how to do it somehow. And it's only, they're literally holding me, like, over the fire just because I want to watch 20 minutes of MSNBC in the morning. There's not a single other type of programming that I need cable to watch. Everything else is on the internet. I just want to be able to watch my MSNBC.
Well, and especially now that we have mastered watching things on
Hulu, Netflix, and every other internet. Oh, and now there's the Showtime app.
Showtime Anytime. Praise be.
Yeah, thank God, finally.
Like, been needing that for ages.
How long has that been? How long have we been waiting for that? But in any case, Time Warner Cable can't be trusted to make the right decision, usually. So it's no surprise that they had the wrong reaction here. In final news, this is still sort of like in the courts, but as of now, you are allowed to give the cops the finger. That's legal.
Yes.
So that's good news. You know, just you're feeling angry,
generally
hating authority.
Right?
Yeah, in New York. Well, I mean, I think though it was a New York regional court, but it's not like the New York State Constitution has special rules about. I mean, it's free speech, isn't it? Like, they're basing it on the First Amendment.
All right.
Like, yeah, you're allowed to give the cops the finger because you're allowed to give anyone the finger because that's right as an American to give people the finger.
John Boehner is allowed to give Harry Reid the finger if he wants.
Allowed to say, go fuck yourself to Harry Reid because that's a constitutionally protected right of his. And Harry Reid is allowed to have a really indignant, shocked, civilized reaction to the whole thing because that's also his right. We know the Constitution front and back here at Brain Trust Live. We can't be fooled.
Constitutional scholars, Lyle and I.
That's right. In any case, there's a guy who got arrested for giving the cops the finger and brought it to court, and now we know the answer to this question. So that's good news.
Yeah.
We have sort of like sneakily figured out how to skip a week on the podcast, it seems like.
We did. Ha ha.
Showed you. But so what we're going to do is we're going to be back again late next week, but not on our normal Sunday.
Not late weekend, like on a Thursday, Friday
style. We're going to do Thursday, Friday style stuff. And then we are going to be back on our regular schedule the next week.
Sunday night. Yes.
On Sunday night the next week. So you'll finally have your beloved Brain Trust Live back in action on its
regularly scheduled schedule.
On Monday. So have a good
also weekend. 2013 is going to be bringing you some serious Brain Trust Live in your lives, people.
Yeah, 2013 is
by the end of 2013. By the end of 2013, you're going to be able to say, "I listened to them back when."
That's right. Yeah,
and feel cool when the rest of the world is listening.
Exactly, and your friends will be jealous that you knew about it so soon.
Yeah.
That's in the works. So.
Yep.
Get excited.
So get ready.
This is the year it's all happening. So have a good weekend, I guess. And we will see you late next week on Thursday or Friday. And there will be updates on our Twitter and Facebook accounts, as always.
Yes.
We'll be better about those now that we're not traveling and such. And, you know, hopefully the country does not end in some sort of legislative disaster before we have a chance to make Brain Trust Live into the most important political podcast in the world.
Elizabeth Warren and Tammy Baldwin are not going to let that happen.
So true. I feel so much safer having them there. I don't even know how to express that fully. But anyway, see you next week. Have a good first full week back at in the working world, if you're the kind of person who is in the working world. Awful. And we will see you soon.
Bye.